I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Deeply hot, hot for the curves you've got, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's with us.
Hello.
Luke Moore's with us.
All right.
And that man, Pete Donaldson's here.
All right, your biscuit.
It's nearly the weekend. Pete Donaldson eating biscuits.
Yeah.
You're drinking tinnies, no doubt, and everybody's happy.
Who's drinking tinnies, no doubt?
The listeners.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not being funny. It's the first hot day of the year, pretty much, and the pubs are packed.
Oh. Yeah.
Spilling out in the street.
Shorts
they are.
Everywhere.
Oh, hey, it's disgusting.
Little tip for you that no doubt millennials will call a life hack in quotes now. Start drinking on the Thursday. It makes the weekend seem longer.
Thursday's the new Friday. Mm. Yeah. Except it isn't. Mm.
Friday flies by when you're hungover.
You would know.
And you've got no responsibilities.
You would know.
And you've not had an office job for about 10 years.
Live that with me tomorrow.
I'm off to Antwerp tomorrow.
Yeah?
What?
You're in Antwerp?
Yeah.
Even though there's already one there?
No, bringing my aunts to Antwerp.
Is it your second Belgium trip in inside a year? It must be.
Third, I think. I went to Brussels, is that, yeah?
Wow. What,
I was in Amsterdam last week as well. Whoa.
Is this another secret family?
Yeah.
Are you being utilised by Mrs. May?
Are you doing it? Yeah, are you chief
chief negotiator.
Oh, I'm off to The Hague for reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm just,
I'd rather throw
my
Pete
B&B's in Antwerp, but yeah. The Hague's just around the corner.
I'd
so
rather throw
in.
Pete into the equation. We get a better deal.
Ordinarily, yeah. I would look at what's happening now and think, can't get any worse.
Yep.
It is Pete, though. If it wasn't Pete, perhaps.
I think a Donaldson hand grenade thrown into the mess might be quite a nice thing for
it's rolling a D20, isn't it, really?
A social hand grenade.
With one hit point left.
Can we talk about Cristiano Ronaldo's statue? I feel like it's an elephant in the room.
It's an elephant in the room. Oh, the badly sculpted elephant.
Yeah, an elephant that looks more like a rhino in the room.
It's supposed to be an African elephant. Is it? It's just like India. Or is it the reverse? I forget.
What I think it looks like. I've taken a lot of time to think about it.
Anything but Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, it doesn't look like Cristiano Ronaldo. We can all agree on that. It looks like Niall Quinn after he's done a cycle in the washing machine. Because the hair's slick. It looks like a very confused Niall Quinn.
Yeah, but a lot of people have said the face itself is shrunken. It's like it's all bunched together
in the middle of the face. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, I can see that as well.
You know exactly which photograph it's taken from as well, don't you?
I don't. I haven't seen
it. Was it
one when the wind changed?
No, it's one where he's really sort of grimacing.
Into the back of a spoon.
And it's actually quite an unnatural face, and he doesn't normally look like that. So that's why I think people are quite confused.
He did a really, really good... I think he deserves credit for doing a really good job of not getting caught once with all the cameras around doing a sort of grimace.
Yep.
He really smiled the whole way through.
Right.
He thought, if I grimace, that's going around the world.
That's right.
I'm going to pretend with all I've got that I'm happy with this. And then probably went round back to his own house and just threw everything around the living room.
Yeah.
In frustration.
He threw all of his other busts through the windows.
Yeah. It was a PR masterclass, Luke.
After the disaster that was the Madeira airport, obviously. I mean,
why was that a disaster?
Well, that's what I mean. It wasn't. That's the problem. He just had an airport named after him. How do you top that? Ruin it by putting a statue up.
You were very keen. I watched Wednesday's Forza Ramble on Facebook Live, and you were very keen to acknowledge the existence of another Madeira citizen.
Dr. Langerhans.
Yeah, the guy who discovered insulin or something.
He discovered
it?
The cell.
He wasn't from
the islet,
Madeira.
He's German.
Yeah, but he died in there. He died in there. He was a famous resident. He's fundamentally more important than Cristiano Ronaldo.
More important and famous are not the same, though, are
they? He probably lived there for longer than Cristiano Ronaldo.
Just let him have his bus. Let him have his airport.
Where's the Langerhans airport?
You could build it. Yeah. Paper aeroplanes only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a great start to everybody's... Well, I don't know if it was the start of the week, but the bust was just wonderful.
It was. The strange thing is Ronaldo himself, he signed it off, didn't he? Because the guy who designed it and made it said, like, yeah, I mean, he was happy with it. You can't please everybody. But I wonder if Ronaldo just looks at anything that looks even vaguely like him and just goes, oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
When the sculptor said, even Jesus did not please everyone. It is impossible to please both the Greeks and the Trojans.
Mm. And when he said that...
He's comparing himself to Jesus straight off the bat.
When he says you can't please everybody, I thought, well, you got mighty close.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us were pleased about that.
It also reminded me a little
Football
bit...
social media liked it.
Have you seen the film Wrong Turn?
No,
it's about 10, 15 years old, about a group of, I think it's like American, I guess like college students or whatever. They go through, I think it's the West Virginia countryside, and they get accosted and terrorised by a bunch of three cannibalistic brothers.
Okay.
It's actually not too bad. It's quite an interesting horror movie. One of the brothers looks like that. They're like rednecks, basically, but gone massively
wrong. That is the most lukewarm of takes, I think.
Yeah, well.
Do you know that film from 10, 15 years ago? It's a horror film, so not many people watched it. Yeah, it's this.
It's the hottest of hot takes because it's...
No one else has done it.
It's easily what I thought. And to be honest, mate, you look like a mad professor from a horror movie yourself at the
moment. What do you
mean? Dressed in a weird checker... I don't know what you'd call that. Checkerboard tweed combination.
Yeah. Marcus turned the heating right down in the studio, so it's actually quite partial.
You turned up in that!
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I took it off.
Dr.
Langerhans. your glasses are very, if you don't mind me saying, very far right as well.
Are they far right? Well, everyone wore these spectacles.
Yeah, but Nazi hipsters have become a thing in the last year, haven't they?
So. I'm not sure I couldn't pull off the look.
No. You can.
I could wear a Pepe the Frog badge.
You are doing
if I wanted
it
to.
Now. You're doing
have
it
we,
now.
Have we started recording this podcast? Let's not forget where we are. The listeners.
Luke has
here.
To get his dig in. Seven goes. Oh, let's have a look at the cloth.
We've already got a few digs in there.
There's more. There was more that came from.
Should we go to the Premier League?
Yeah, why not?
It's back. International football has been wound down this week. My goodness, we're left with domestic football. But Liverpool versus Everton is a great way to pick us all up.
Do you find that you have to recalibrate after like a couple of weeks? For me, I have to go around reminding myself everything that's happened because you get 2 weeks off and you think, oh, I can't remember anything now.
Well, I find it extraordinary when some players, they have little holidays. I don't find that extraordinary. It's kind of like, he was on holiday. Oh, there was football Oh, yeah, well, I suppose.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's like their half-term if they don't get caught
up. Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Not too bad. But it's Klopp versus Koeman.
Yeah, this comes up on the show fairly regularly, I think, so apologies if I'm right there, but this fixture, Liverpool v Everton, is one of the... There was one of the best ever Premier League games in 1999 where Everton beat Liverpool 1-0 at Anfield. I think it's the last time they won at Anfield, I think.
Ferguson, was it? He scored the goal?
No, it was Kevin Campbell scored very early on. They won 1-0. But there was, I think, three sendings off. I think Sander Westerwell was sent off for having a fracas with Francis Jeffers.
That's right, yeah.
Which meant that Steve Storms had to go and goal. And then Steven Gerrard was sent off as well late on. So there were three sendings off. And Don Hutchinson and Michael Owen both should have been sent off as well.
Yeah.
And they were both put dreadful challenges. And I think Michael Owen might have got a yellow instead. But it would have been surely the only game in Premier League history where five people have been sent off. And it should have been. It genuinely should have been five people sent off. It was a fantastic game. Campbell scored really early after about 5 minutes and it just went chaotic after that. I'd say probably the most underrated game in Premier League history because everyone talks about that Newcastle-Liverpool pair of games. That was fantastic.
It's the culture of we don't like to see that sort of thing, isn't it?
I love seeing
it. Absolutely. We love it. We absolutely love it. More of it. I think it's the fixture with the most red cards in it, isn't it?
Yeah, that always comes up as well around this time of the year.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, apparently so. But Lallana's going to be out for Liverpool, I think.
That's a big loss. Apparently Southgate had to give Klopp a phone call.
Klopp seemed all right about it. He sort of said in the press conference, I mean, maybe he'd had time to calm down.
In the press conference.
He said, oh, yeah, we can't. There's no point moaning about it. So he's got to get on with it.
Well, that is the case. I mean, look, he's an international player. If he's playing a match for his nation, he can get injured.
But he was moaning about another player who got called off. I can't remember who it was, though, because he didn't get a phone call from the international manager.
Oh, is that right?
So, leave off my babies, he says. Like O'Leary.
In O'Leary fashion.
Well, Philip Coutinho and Roberto Firmino, they were flown back to England on a private jet from Brazil, which I quite like. I would like that if it happened in front of the rest of the squad. Yeah. Anyway, boys, we'll be off now.
I'd like to know. I mean, in my mind, there's only the two of them on the flight. I'd love to know what they got up to.
Maybe even flying it.
Nah, not flying it. Come on. We get you resting.
I'd like to think that.
It's all autopilot now.
I'd like to think that, you know, Klopp, he wants to keep them fit, so they're just doing shuttle runs up and down the plane.
That's right, yeah.
You're pretending to it.
On a Cessna.
Staving off the DVT.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple of treadmills on there.
Oh, dear. Jordan Henderson's still out too, of course, which is a shame. And for Everton, I mean, obviously, Seamus Coleman is out, obviously, for a long while. Mm. Schneiderlin might be out as well. But he's fighting to get fit.
In opposite news, I read today that Daniel Sturridge is back in full training.
Is that
so
right?
I'm not sure he'll get picked, but he's back in full training as of today. So
he fancies it.
He may well fancy it. It depends on whether Big Jürgen fancies him.
What about Romelu Lukaku? A lot of noises coming out of his camp suggesting he'll leave in the summer because he wants to play in the Champions League.
This is flip-flop back and forward, because initially he said he wasn't going to sign a contract. Then there was talk that it was a translation issue and that he was talking in... I presume it would have been French, and that it was translated badly, and that wasn't the case. And now, again, it's being said that he is going to leave. I mean, clearly, he would be able to leave if he wanted to.
Would it be Flemish? It was in...
Possibly, I don't know. Mm. I'm not sure.
Yannick Bolasie, his teammate, said that...
Don't
Lukaku...
they speak Dutch?
What's that?
Don't they speak Dutch?
The Dutch do, yeah. No, I don't think the Belgians do. It's Flemish, isn't it?
It's a dialect, isn't it, rather than a language?
It depends what part of Belgium you're in.
Yeah. Find out when you're
I don't even think Flemish is even a language. I think it's Eastern Flemish and Western Flemish.
Are you going to the local English dialect part of Belgium?
I just call it Dos Cerveza, por favor.
Are you getting this into the show so you can claim the tax balance?
I think that's fair.
Excuse me, officer, your fault is work-related. Take these headphones.
Content, thank you.
I demand to know what the existence of Flemish is like.
Bolasie's saying that Lukaku should play at a higher level.
Well, Koeman said it earlier this season.
Yeah, but I thought to myself, Koeman must think, I'm going to another club in the summer and I fancy getting Lukaku there to join.
Yeah, Koeman's a funny... I know down that side of the table you're a big fan of his, you're firmly in his camp, but I did have a little... I did have a little chuckle to myself when he said a week or two ago that Lukaku should honour his contract, because I think there'll be a fair few Southampton fans that might have something to say about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Bolasie said...
Great chuckle all round for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Bolasie, though, saying... that his teammates should play at a higher level. If you were the manager, you'd be like, shut up!
Yeah, mate, it's the season of honesty, isn't it?
It's the season of honesty. He said, when a man has a plan, he has his plan, and you can't really stop that.
As catchphrases go, it's not great, is it?
No, it isn't brilliant.
It's not the Ralph Waldo Emerson of football, is it?
Man has a plan. I hope he's doing the EU negotiation. We'll be absolutely fine. It won't take 2 years at all. Could big games like this in the future see a video assistant referee?
Why specifically big games? Wouldn't it be all of them?
Well, it would be all of them, Jim. You're right. I just think that it would be... games like this, often, it's marginal, isn't it? A refereeing decision and so on. But the EFL Cup could bring in video assistant referees in August from the third round of the Cup. Of course, there was one used to rule out Antoine Griezmann's goal for France against Spain midweek. We talked about this on Forza Ramble, the Facebook Live we do on Wednesday afternoons. The fact is that...
You use video technology for Facebook Live, right? It doesn't work, does it?
Pete was there, and I can prove it. Yeah. I love the fact that the video assistant referee, which is an important job, is in a van outside the ground.
They made a big deal out of that.
Like, yeah, they should.
Oh, you know where he is? He's in a van down one of the side streets.
He's in a Starbucks.
It's not important. They just put him in one of the offices if you want. I don't care about
that. You think he's in a van in case... the home fans get angry at a decision and he can just drive off.
But I mean, I made the point...
It's a sort of like spy caper.
I made the point that it was... I mean, fundamentally, that's kind of doing the referee out of an aspect of his job. Possibly in the future, all of decisions will go through the video referee. So basically, the referee, I think, waited for ages, pretending he couldn't hear what the guy was saying over his earpiece before he made the decision.
For me,
so that he doesn't steal his job.
Part of me got quite, not upset, but like quite sort of crestfallen when I saw it. I just thought, oh, I don't like it.
You don't like
it. You've long sort of said you don't like the idea of the stoppages, do you? So did that bother you?
It's not the stoppages. It's not the stoppages. I mean, you can deal with stoppages all the time. I mean, you look at the big injury to Coleman that happens. You know, there was one with whole midfielder, help me out here, Ryan Mason earlier in the season because he was injured. And so the stoppages happen. I'm fairly comfortable with the stoppages. It's just, for me, I like the idea that football is a simple game, and the reason it's the most popular sport in the world is because of its simplicity, and I argued it, you know, maybe successfully, maybe not, in the book that we put out last year, that you know, football needs to be careful what it wishes for. You can't set an arbitrary point where you don't carry on using video technology because there's no money and not enough money at that level of the game. You have to decide that, and you have to decide whether you want the game to manifest itself and present itself in a way that is completely different to everyday football that you and I and we enjoy. So, and what we play. So, and also, I mean, what I ended up thinking with the video technology for the France-Spain game and the offside decision and stuff, I just thought, well, what's the point of having a linesman then? Just get rid of the assistant referee. You don't need him, do you?
I don't know, but then you'd have lots of stoppages. You'd have loads of stoppages all the time if every single thing went to a man in a van outside the ground. It's there just in case they get something wrong, isn't it? It's not to overrule things.
It's not about them getting it wrong, though. The referee calls it ineffective, doesn't he?
Well, it literally did overrule things in that game.
What I mean is if the guy in the van spots that the referee has made a mistake or the linesman's made a mistake, that's when it comes into play. Otherwise, the linesman and the referee are just doing their jobs as usual. I think it's help for them, isn't it? That's all it is. But personally, I don't mind it because it bothers me that, you know, in this day and age, a goal can wrongly be chalked off when it shouldn't be, or the other way around.
But if you're worried about the referee not making the right decisions, then there are much, much better ways of sorting that out. I mean,
none of them work so far.
What ones have been tried then?
Well, what are they? What other options are there?
More referees?
They have tried with fifth and sixth officials.
Why
hasn't it worked?
Well, it hasn't worked, did it? We've had referees behind both goals and loads of extra officials, and it's not stopped goals being ruled out.
They've worked perfectly well, in my opinion.
Really?
I don't think there's been too many examples.
But if the video referee hadn't have stepped in, the Griezmann goal would have wrongly stood.
Well, quite. But, so what?
It undermines celebrations. It undermines kind of like, I've scored a goal. Or have I? Look to the linesman. He might not even have the information I need. Where do I look? I've got to run out of the ground, knock on the man's van, and go, was that all right? And then I can start celebrating. It's just, but if you're watching like a third division match or a third tier match, and a goal looks a bit iffy, you're going to be like, oh. Like, we don't have the technology there's something missing, isn't there, at that level?
But they don't have goal line technology at that level.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It has to be administered every level. It has to be a technology that can be easily administered. If you're letting people pay money to get into the ground, I think all professional clubs should have the same technology.
Well, they don't have fifth and sixth officials at lower level.
I disagree with that fundamentally, Marcus. That's the thing, isn't it?
But the lower levels are never going to be able to compete with the top level, and top level.
It's a different game. They're not playing football anymore, are they?
We should at least all in this room be able to agree that they should be playing the same sport.
It's not governed by the same rules. It's a
governed by the same laws. That's absolutely correct. I mean,
no, it isn't at all.
So
it's still governed by the same laws. Just some of them are augmented with extra help in officiating them.
So there's a decision that's made exactly the same principle at a Champions League final. Okay, and it can be administered in a completely different way than a League Two promotion game or a relegation game, which sees a team possibly going out of business, and you think it's fair that they should be administered in a different way.
I think it's absolutely fine, because to pretend that it's a different to pretend that the absolute elite level is the same as it lower down is just putting your head in the sand, isn't it?
But they're playing the same game, and I think to have respect for those players who make a living out of the game and operate at a professional level, although not at the very top level, they should be respected. It undermines and patronises them.
Lost here is that, you know, if a team loses out on a goal when they've scored a goal, that's fundamentally wrong. If there's something that can be in place at any level, even if that's just the top level, to correct that, then I think that's a good thing.
I mean, on a Sunday morning once, I was denied a hat-trick and I was onside. And one of their lads, he was running the line and he gave it offside.
That's happened to most people, I think. But you know, the other thing that we're in danger of here, and I guess we won't spend too much longer talking about this, is that people also think it's a bit of a panacea. And if you look at the webpage that FIFA have dedicated to this new technology, they've actually not implemented it correctly by their own terms anyway, because they're supposed to be doing it for controversial penalty decisions as well. And they didn't do that because Koscielny was adjudged to have given a penalty away. It wasn't a penalty. And the referee and the video system didn't do anything about it. So it's already not being implemented properly.
Well, they were trialling
fine. We'd hope that it would be a successful trial, but in that instance, it wasn't. And just finally, this whole thing isn't a panacea anyway, okay? You have to be very, very careful what you wish for. And I used the example in the book, which you guys have all read, but in case people at home haven't heard it, a couple of seasons ago in the Super Bowl, there was an issue about whether something was a completed catch or not. There was about, a conservative estimate, 7 or 8 different camera angles, okay? They couldn't decide on it. And 2 weeks later, when I was still in the US watching the sports roundups, they were still arguing about whether it was a catch or not. If you start implementing stuff like that into penalty decisions, good luck, because you're never going to get it right, because a lot of the laws are based around a referee's interpretation. So if you want to implement it properly, you're going to have to change the fabric of how the laws are used in this country and in more over the world in the sport we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and fair enough. I think that to bring in video referees for those kind of decisions is a bit stupid. Did it cross the line? You can scientifically prove that. Mm. Was it offside? I think you can actually scientifically prove that with a little bit of time.
I wonder if the future will be, I don't know, chips in the ball and on in players.
You don't even need that. As I said on the Facebook Live, I mean, Sky Sports can mask out players. I mean, they're fairly high contrast video colours. You know, you got green against something else. I mean, very few teams go for the green for obvious reasons. You know, you can tell where a player is at any moment. You can tell where the ball is at any moment. You need, if you're going to use video technology, it needs to be like that. And it needs to be a binary 0 or 1 sort of decision, offside or non-offside.
Agreed,
offside.
At the very
It can't be interpreting the law that as Luke correctly identified, is all about what's happening from the referee's point of view. If the referee sees this, then
yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't think many people are asking for technology to be brought in decisions that may or may not, you know, one man's penalty, one man's not penalty. But let's drag it all the way back to the Merseyside derby, because as
there'll
you can
be
see,
loads of cards and well, offside.
There should be some clear-cut decisions to be made there. And as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, this splits us, this technology business. Mm. But for now, we just
have
goal.
Why don't you tell us what you think? Email us in, and maybe Pete can include it in the correspondence.
Maybe on the next Forza Ramble, we'll have a physical fight about this.
And I'll be totally honest here. There's one thing that Pete really enjoys. It's sorting through all the admin of loads of emails.
That's right.
Let's get as many as possible in there.
I mean, guaranteed you're going to get read out on this show if it's a page worth of text. It's about a football match you played 20 years ago. Probably not going to get read out.
Am I right in saying, Pete, the longer the better you like?
Yeah.
With the central point right at the end.
And a PS for Jim.
Yeah. Tons of spelling mistakes.
All one paragraph as well.
In wingdings.
As you were saying, Marcus, dragging it back to the game itself, the draw here is 14-5 with Bet365, so a stalemate. £10 on that will return £38, including the stake, which I don't think is a terrible shout.
Yeah.
Everton's record is very poor at Anfield.
Mm. So Lukaku, read an interesting stat about him. He's got 10 goals in or after the 80th minute this season, which equals Kevin Phillips' record that he set in 99-2000, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? It shows that he's developing as a game-changing striker.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of clubs will want him, Jim. And Ronald Koeman will take it with him. Yeah. I mean, I'm off and I'm taking him with me. Yeah. Let's move on to a big one down the bottom of the Premier League, Swansea versus Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough 5 points from Sheffield on 22 points. They've got a game in hand on Hull on 24 points and Swansea on 27 points. The one plus for Middlesbrough is that goal difference is better, a fair amount better than Hull's and Swansea's, but a win for Swansea would be a hammer blow to Middlesbrough's survival intentions.
I personally think Borough down anyway, and they're absolutely down if they lose at Swansea at the weekend. And it's tempting to think when you look at that and you say, "Oh, they've got five points from safety. Okay, they're 5 points behind Swansea." As you rightly said, they've got a better goal difference, and they've even got a game in hand as well. But if you look at the sort of points per game record of Middlesbrough this season, it's taken them 28 games to get to 22 points. So really, they need to play another 8 or 9 games, or probably about 8 games, to make up that difference in the first place. And they've only got like 10 games left. So it's very, very difficult to see them getting out of it, especially if you add into the mix that they just do not score goals. They're like the Sahara Desert of goals. If goals in this rather sort of tortured analogy were some sort of water oasis at certain points in the desert itself.
Yeah, I mean,
wasted all your craft on that goal line technology.
Don't reference it.
I would say with the Sahara Desert, you know, they keep a lot of. They have a
my interest.
They have
gone. Scott is unplugged.
Pete's interest normally goes after about 2 minutes.
I said we've done very well.
There we go. I'm out of here. I'm done. Good night, everyone.
The internet part of Pete's shut down.
Yes, it is safe to turn off your computer if you're on Windows 95.
I don't know whether that's you leaving or reversing.
We talk about Pete being part computer and that, but sometimes it's really annoying when he comes over to you, just looks over your shoulder and goes, "It looks like you're writing a letter." Pete, you're a giant paperclip.
Actually, we need to chat about updating his malware, because some of the filth that's coming out.
Yeah. It's the spyware I'm worried about.
When does the man himself become a walking virus?
Middlesbrough.
Yeah. Middlesbrough. Yeah, so
speaking of viruses.
Peter!
There's another stat about this one that's quite interesting. So shut down again if you want, Pete, but I'm going to do it. There's been 99 goals involving Swansea in the league, which is the most in the league.
But a win ain't one.
Yeah, compared to 53 with Middlesbrough, which is the least. So that's make of that what you will. But Swansea look like they've got goals in them under Paul Clement.
They do.
So I think, you know, their strategy's got to be just hit them hard and quickly.
Swansea, the home side, they're a better side at the moment than Borough. surely this will be a Swansea win. But then, Peter, when we hear that Jonathan Woodgate's back at Middlesbrough...
He's been there for ages.
Well, he came back as in the back room.
Wasn't he? He was scouting for a bit, wasn't he? And then he came back.
Yeah, I think he's going to be part of Agnew's backroom stuff.
It's a brave move, giving him a scouting job. I mean, didn't the guy remove himself from a pub once because he glassed himself in the face?
Apparently so. I mean to say he can't. I mean, maybe he was annoyed because he was trying to watch the game.
What happens if he gets annoyed at a game he's scouting at? He chucks himself off the terrace.
So all those injuries were.
I'm leaving anyway.
Well, but you know, his first kind of sojourn abroad was involved in getting sent off and scoring on goal. So, I mean. Yeah.
The problem with the scouting thing, though, is he's by nature of the job, he's going to have to climb up to the top of the terrace to watch properly. He's going to tear his thigh muscle and clean up his bone doing that.
It's not necessarily spying, is it?
He needs to go one of those cherry pickers.
Maybe they've given him one.
Yeah, they might have done.
There goes Jonathan Woodgate.
I must remember. No, I won't do that.
Joe Jordan is also in the backroom staff. He's a hard man.
Jim. I love Joe. Joe was a big part of the Portsmouth backroom staff.
He was. Yeah. Remember that time we squared up to René Gattuso? Yeah.
Golden moment. Golden moment.
Beautiful. Who would you have fancied for that one, Peter?
Jordan. Definitely Jordan.
Jordan's old man heart.
We've had this before. Definitely Jordan.
I know, and I thought I'd bring it back.
There's more on someone being old man hard later in this show.
Don't you worry about that.
But on the Swansea thing, yes. Martin Olsen might be back, and that's a big plus for Swansea. He'd be very, very good for them since he turned up. And Swans are 10-11 with Bet365 to beat Borough here. So £10 return, £19 and 9 pence, including your stake.
We're ready to go to the big South Coast derby.
Oh, yeah, here we go. The thing that annoys me about this, right, is I'm not annoyed that he's having a dig at Portsmouth again.
How many times have I talked up Portsmouth in the main show with their chances and reversing up the Pompey Harbour and all that?
Not enough.
Let me have this one.
This game, right, I think I'm just going to double check this. This game, 10th versus 11th.
Yeah.
Nothing on it. Still gets in, doesn't it? So you can have a dig.
What are you talking about? It's the South Coast derby.
Yeah, the South Coast derby.
We've had the Merseyside derby.
Yeah, the big one.
And then we've derby got week.
The South Coast derby.
Thing is, Pete, I'll take Marcus down to Portsmouth, one of the local pubs. Watch his ball shrink.
Fine. I've been why that would happen. Is it particularly cold in that pub?
Yes, it can be very cold down there.
Down there. Oh, dear. Yeah, it's both sides on 33 points, although Southampton have two games in hand, but they are the two premier sides on the South Coast at the moment. There's absolutely
He's repeating jokes as he picked it into his little knot. Yeah.
I didn't actually. Brilliant. You're going to come round and have a look. I was going to let that one go.
You come round here and have a look.
You come round here and have a look at my derby.
You never see your ball shrink. Pete.
Let's hear more from El Costico.
I was going to let that one go. Oh, thanks, Mark.
There's talk that Eddie Howe might try to bring Jermaine Defoe back to the club if Sunderland are relegated.
I quite like that. As a move, I think that's a good idea.
So he's been linked to West Ham a lot, but not Bournemouth.
It's weird how it's only clubs he's already played for, which suggests laziness.
Mm. I also think that with Defoe, I mean, he's getting on a bit and stuff, and you know, I made my point about him playing for England again, and it was good for him, and maybe not so good for England, but clearly he's a player who keeps himself in good shape, and he could probably be good enough for maybe 10 goals next season in the Premier League. And for a club like Bournemouth, that's gold dust.
It is, yeah. Well, he said the vegan diet's helped, and also he didn't say ice baths, which are quite. Well, I don't know if popular is the right word, but certainly used a lot by professional footballers. Ice chambers.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, that's one of those things that Sam Allardyce bought for when he's at Bolton, I think. Oh, yeah. It was one of the big things he was big on. It freezes your body to like minus 15 or something really quickly, and then you're only allowed to stay in it for like 1 minute, 2 minutes.
8 hours, isn't it? 8 hours.
Just bumping into Sam Allardyce in an ice chamber.
Yeah. Lee Dixon is a vegan now as well.
Lee Dixon?
Yeah.
Okay.
The
horse has already bolted.
Is this a peacher?
Football vegan
news.
Footballing vegan. Pete Donaldson. Pete Donaldson, brackets, not a vegan himself.
I bought Ian Wright a vegan book.
Okay.
Because he said he wanted to be a vegan because he'd watched some Facebook videos, so I got him. And my mate is a vegan chef, so I
does he know what a vegan is?
Got her book and give it to him.
He's using that as a coaster, maximum.
To eat a big steak.
But Marcus, on the old Southampton Bournemouth thing, something that is of note, don't worry, I've still been professional, I had to dig something out here.
Yeah.
It was quite a tempestuous affair, if I remember rightly, earlier in the season.
I don't think this... you might be thinking last season there was a sending off, I think it was last season we were sending off. Southampton,
they beat them at Bournemouth, didn't they?
They did. They beat them 3-1. Bournemouth will be looking for revenge, but it could be a feisty affair. Speaking of feisty affairs,
there it is.
We mentioned red cards in the Merseyside derby. Five red cards, I think you said, in that game.
No, there should have been five. There were three.
Oh, there were three.
Been five. Yeah, there should have been five.
Well, Easter Road this week, there were four. only two of them were players.
Yeah.
It was like the last days of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
A mass brawl happened at the end of that one between Hibs and Morton. It was 0-0. But the real story was the two managers going at it. We know Neil Lennon likes a ruck.
There is an absolutely incredible, like, very Alan Partridge-style photo story of this on the Daily Records website. It's just amazing.
I only
clicked
on it because I thought it was a proper video.
No, but it starts off just like a normal football match, and then there are punches flying, just
show,
bundles. It's just beautiful.
It really is. Jim Duffy and him had to be separated.
Jesus, Jim Duffy looks hard.
He does. He looks like a tough
His
man.
His head looks like a bullet. He is the dictionary definition of old man hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
He makes Joe Jordan look like Bambi.
Definitely. On ice.
Yeah.
It's like his skull has a skull.
And when he had that dust up with Lennon, you mentioned, Lennon does like a dust up himself.
He said,
there were no punches thrown. This is Jim Duffy. There were no punches thrown. If I throw a punch, you'll know about it.
Yeah.
he also said that he was sort of really embarrassed by it, but afterwards he said maybe it was handbags with a few things inside the handbags.
That's so sinister. No.
Yeah.
A couple of half bricks in that handbag.
You could snook a ball in a sock.
I tell you something, like, the first thing I thought of when I saw Jim Duffy's face is that man could hold his own in any pub in the land. Any pub in the land.
Even that one in Aberdeen where nobody goes to.
Any time of the day or night. That one in Aberdeen was in that world, Britain's Hardest Pubs series. And I actually showed my granddad a bit of that. He spent a lot of time in Aberdeen when he was younger. And I asked him if he recognised it. He said no, but he said one thing about Aberdeen is it's not quite the end of the world, but you can see it.
Oh man, Jim Duffy, because Neil Lennon accused Jim Duffy of challenging him to a fight, and I thought, I tell you what, Mr. Lennon, you know, whatever, you didn't seem to wait, you know, for any clarification on that. You know, you might have assumed
he's been kicked in the head by Alan Shearer. He's not going to like second guess anyone again, is he?
He's certainly not.
I'm ready. I'll go.
The phrase he used was "square go."
Well, I know. Yeah, I love that. Jim Duffy said he denied asking for a square go, which is
square
wonderful.
Square go.
As if to say, come ahead, square go. Yeah.
Do you know, Marcus? Remember our mate from uni, Richie, friends of
yeah,
Richie.
Yeah,
he always
yeah.
used to say whenever you'd like muck around with him or someone was ready, he always go on then. I make it a good one.
Yeah. I'll give you the first.
Yeah.
Duffy was sent to the stands, of course, with Neil Lennon, and he said, I've never been set. Duffy playing like the innocent party.
I know.
Like you were saying, oh, you know, this has never happened to me or anything like this.
It looks like a Scottish Voldemort. There's no way you can play the innocent party. Anyway.
He said, I've never been sent to the stands before tonight. It's my first time, but it's always good to lose your virginity eventually.
This guy's gone under our radar for far too long.
Oh, man. He said, I've never been in this situation before, and I don't know how it works. Maybe I should ask Lenny.
Yeah.
Just so disrespectful.
Apparently, they're good pals as well.
Yeah.
But they go back a long way, and they're good pals.
And that's how they behave.
Life. Yeah, well, quite. God knows what they do with their enemies. Yeah. But we might hear a bit more, Jim, if Greenock get promoted, because they're doing all right, aren't they?
They're
second
doing okay.
Or something like that. Hibs are miles ahead, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it was a big game. It was
and
a big
only
game.
One go up automatically, so we'll goodness. See.
Wonderful stuff. We must go to a break, but we will talk about the Premier League more after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody. We're still here. We're still talking about those footballs. Pete Donaldson's got some emails in his hand.
I have got some emails in my hand.
Fire away.
The first one's a bit of a weird one, to be honest. I hope you're all well. I'm more of a Football Weekly kind of guy, so I've never emailed you before.
I just made it in.
I know. Wait, but I doubt that they'll be that interested in the fact that this week I got a tattoo of a young Alan Shearer reluctantly eating a nectarine.
That's how it's made it in. Fine. Yeah. Right. I'll stand corrected.
But you folks might. Who knows? Ed in Oxford, he's attached a picture.
I'll just have a look at that.
It's definitely Alan Shearer eating a nectarine.
I don't think you could even tell that's Alan Shearer. It looks Alistair Campbell.
All right, well, out of save paper. All right, I'm trying to save the trees.
Looks like Alistair Campbell, that. It could be a peach.
I
could watch Alistair Campbell eating a peach for hours, me.
In reality.
But why if you're going to have a tattoo of a fruit, would you pick the one fruit that could be mistaken for another fruit?
Ask him.
I am asking him.
I mean, that's not even number one, two, or three of his bad decisions.
Strange. He's got it on his thigh. It looks like that Cristiano Ronaldo bust.
I'm sure these are the exact questions that the tattoo fixers team will be asking.
what's his name?
His name's Ed in Oxford.
All right, Ed. Thanks for that, mate.
And thanks for listening, I guess.
It takes all sorts.
Yeah. John writes, your talk on Monday's show about the expenses that footballers may claim on international duty brought to memory a story my dad tells. Back in the 50s, England players would often travel from their clubs by steam train to home internationals in Scotland. On one occasion, Stanley Matthews, and then perhaps the greatest English footballer, travelled from his home club in the northwest. He had to change trains in Carlisle. Whilst waiting for his connection, he bought a tea cake from the station buffet. When later claiming the cost of said tea cake in his expenses, the FA challenged his claim. It is not known to this day whether he recovered the cost. So if there are any football historians listening...
I heard that story before, actually. Okay. Quite a famous one.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, John Wright, for that one.
Yeah, how football has changed.
Daniel Cowling, also, this is a story about footballers buying things. Sean Wright Phillips! We chatted about him a little earlier on. Basically, he was queuing ahead of me and my brother.
We did on Fools Aramble.
All right. Do you want to interject? We probably will have discussed him before, won't we?
Different show. People listening.
Different show. Different show. Different format.
We've
different
never
day.
Mentioned Sean Wright Phillips. I mentioned his dad 5 minutes ago.
Stop making people rewind the show for that.
We mentioned him earlier.
Oh, I came in for the Sean Wright Phillips chat. Yeah. I'm usually a Football Weekly listener.
About 30 hours earlier.
Sean Wright Phillips. A footballer that we're all aware of.
Yeah, okay.
Tit ends.
That we were talking about loads in the first half.
It triggered a distant memory of a fun but long-forgotten footballer in the wild sighting. The man himself, 5'6" of him, was queuing ahead of me and my brother in the local co-op, only to be hamstrung by his diminutive stature. He was perhaps unwisely mid-season, but to be fair, this was early naughty city, purchasing a large bottle of whiskey and a packet of cigarettes. But when he got asked about his age, he had no ID. My older brother, taking on the mantle of older brother alcohol buyer for Sean himself, stepped in to reassure the shop assistant that he was indeed in his early 20s and he played right wing for Man City.
Interfering.
Yeah, which wonderfully was taken on face value. So if you ever need an out, anybody who's listening who are underage, just say you play right wing for City.
Sean Wright Phillips' son's now playing for England under 16.
That's right.
We talked about that on Fours of Ramble.
Oh, yeah?
10 minutes ago.
Yeah. All right.
I was just going to say that when I looked up the situation around that, I found out that Sean Wright Phillips is 35.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. To me, he's about 20.
Yeah.
He always will be. Might have shown around the ogre, I suppose.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, Sean Wright Phillips needs other people to buy alcohol from. Good to know.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. He seemed like a lovely chap who went
off
into the
night. Of course he was. He's getting right sorted out by his brother.
Someone's buying for him.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Here are some footballer autocorrects.
Oh, okay.
Is that all right? Yeah.
I've
long been a fan of that particular phenomenon, says Fred Noisegate, Fred Nicholas. most of our Arsenal chat occurs via text because my brother lives in California and I live in New York. Recently, we've been worried about Medic Oils form. Very nice and easy, that one. Hello, chaps. Listening to the new Peacher earlier. I'm glad that's caught on. I texted my brother after Preston had signed Ketamine Bechtold.
Jermaine Beckford.
Yay, yeah, there we go.
I'm quite good, aren't I? Yeah, I'm
Ketamine
right.
Bechtold. Yeah. Nice, isn't it? So thank you for that, Bobby Dilworth. Joe.
Is that Bobby Dilworth? Sounds like an all correct as well.
Yeah, I was trying to guess that one.
Yeah, come in.
It's Bob Dylan.
Joe, this one tickled a little, he says. Marijuana fellas.
Marijuana
Fellaini's got
Fellaini. So thank you for that.
I was about to just say yes.
Kenny Munro.
Kenny Munro can get to fuck.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I've got to talk about him later.
Right, have you? Okay, yeah. we'll keep... Keep your powder dry, then.
He'll keep.
Yeah.
And knows what he's done.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lad by the name of Peter. Thank you very much for getting involved. He's Hungarian, but he lives in Luxembourg, and he wants us to know that you call the goalkeeper of Luxembourg Luxembourgian, but the correct term is Luxembourgish.
Oh, really? Good to know.
We're all a bit Luxembourgish, aren't
we?
Yeah,
good to know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Cousin and brother.
Do you want one final one?
Yeah, really quick. Yeah.
Nah. Actually, I don't know who sent this one, but it's a really good point, actually.
Part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Whoever sent this, you know who we are.
Well, I think there's no point because we talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
Was this your Royal Brilliance? Well,
by my printout, it's from Get Outlook for Android. At the start of the latest XXX movie, there's a pretty cool scene in Brazil where Vin Diesel jumps off a satellite pylon and skateboards down a mountain road to deliver an electrical component that provides service just in the nick of time so that the kids of the community can watch their national team.
That's right up your street, that does. Isn't it? That piqued your interest. Satellite pylons and electronic implements.
Actually, in XXX, isn't Neymar in that? This is probably part of it.
Sorry, Pete, why the hell has this email got in there?
Because finally, for now, the game that is briefly shown starting for the kids who've spent ages waiting for this electrical component is Brazil, Germany, July 8th, 2014.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, Triple X. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
For the reminder.
That is great.
But Vin Diesel's brought us telly. Oh. Take it back, Vin Diesel. Skateboard right back up that mountain, mate.
It's not Vin Diesel, it's Triple X.
Yeah.
All right.
You're right.
I've not seen any of those movies.
No, I haven't.
Spoiling the conceit.
Right. Shall we move on to Chelsea versus Crystal Palace? Actually, speaking of films, did we hear what Alan Pardew said recently?
Yeah, it's great.
Mm. Former Palace manager, of course, Alan Pardew. Was he likening his situation, or just the general situation between manager and chairman, to that of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino's characters in the film Heat?
So I mentioned that to a broadcaster, I won't name, when this came out, and he said, the thing is, you know, I like Alan. I really do. I do like him. But he lives in a dream world.
Really?
Big Ash!
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, it was quite sensational, wasn't it? Yeah. Alan Pardew. There was some choice quotes. Let me find here.
You're all right, mate.
The game humbles you.
There we go.
And if you don't humble with it, you are in trouble.
Is this Pardew?
That's Pardew.
Sounds a bit like Sepp.
Yeah.
Sounds like Sepp Blatter.
He's speaking in a second language, isn't he?
If you read that quote out to me, I'd have guessed Sepp Blatter straight away.
Yeah. Marcus, that's your second language voice. Do you think?
Yeah.
But this is, my foreign voice.
His dream world voice.
He also said, maybe my loyalty gets in the way a little bit. I've been loyal to a fault with some. That's just a trait I have. Something to keep my eye on.
Self-aware
my own loyalty.
Yeah, I just basically.
Wow.
What's this come from? Why is he even in the press?
It's a very good point.
Yeah, he's probably just doing some interview, putting himself in the shop window again.
But Palace's current manager, Big Sam, has got them firing again.
You know
according to Wayne Hennessy.
You know who's got them firing, Marcus?
Yeah.
Big Mamadou Sakho.
He has. Well, we mentioned him, didn't we? They've got a few clean sheets in a row.
He's played three games and they haven't considered going any of them.
Mm. Watford, West Brom, and Middlesbrough. Not the strongest opponents, but still, any clean sheet in the Premier League, Jim, is a good clean sheet.
Absolutely. I mean, Chelsea are a slightly different proposition, though.
Well, can Big Sam get anything out of that trip?
I would say no.
No. That's fair.
The only thing I would say in competition to that is Hazard and Moses both have knocks and doubts for the game, so it could be a big difference. We had a couple of people, we'll come on to the bet of the week later, of course, but we had a couple of people email in saying that they quite fancied Palace to catch Chelsea cold. A lot of people, it was interesting to me because more than one person emailed saying they wonder if there's going to be a bit of complacency setting with Chelsea now for the rest of the season. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I just thought I'd mention it.
I don't.
Well, pretty much every member of the first 11 for Chelsea are involved some kind of transfer story this week. So
yeah, Hazard certainly.
Yeah.
Costa's been linking himself all over the place.
Yeah,
all these little interviews that everyone's done, everyone's getting back together and going, hi.
Do you reckon that Costa realised he'd done it again by accident and just called everyone else on the team up and went, if you all do it, you can't punish all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Complacency and Conte are two words that don't go...
Yeah, quite. It's a fair point.
But interesting you mentioned about Eden Hazard. Apparently Zinedine Zidane said he's his main transfer target in the summer.
Yeah,
big Ray
that.
Wilkins, who I think, Luke, you've definitely mentioned Ray Wilkins before. I'm a big fan of the man.
I know Ray. Yeah.
Said he'll give up his Chelsea season ticket if they sell Hazard.
He's very excited. I think he'll regret that.
I don't think he'll do that.
Well, Conte has told the board reportedly that he wants to sign Alexis Sanchez in the summer, which, if they were going to sell Hazard, that would be
a
great...
such a dig. The thing is, I don't... I'll come on to after the minute because I've got a big game. I don't agree with how a lot of Arsenal fans have expressed their displeasure with what's happening at the moment. But even I would feel sorry for them if Alexis Sanchez went to Chelsea. There was talk, wasn't there, some misquote from Chilean national press yesterday.
What Sanchez said was, because he's effectively said he wants to see out his contract at Arsenal. Mm. And he says, I want to stay in the same city for a long time. And the press have gone, Sanchez says he wants to stay in London. That means he's going to Chelsea.
Well, he said,
I
want to stay in the same city and win titles and trophies.
But they're all from different quotes sort of stitched together to make
two and
story.
Two equals Chelsea there, Jim. Well,
if he goes to Chelsea, I mean, yes. The thing is, if it was any other club at the top end of the table, this might just be me, you think, well, it's not going to happen. They're not going to sell.
Well, I don't think they will, though, because there'll be plenty of takers from abroad. Because he's been linked with Bayern and PSG as well.
On the Hazard thing, by the way, I read an interesting report maybe a day or two ago saying that Zidane is so well thought of at Real Madrid now that he's actually able to have a big say in transfers he wants.
I'm sure.
Ordinarily, it wouldn't be a down to the coach in that model they use.
And isn't it?
Normally, it's Florentino Perez, I think, is up for re-election soon, and he wants to get... he's very popular, apparently, at the moment anyway, well, he would be, because they're doing well. But he apparently wants to deliver a big-name player.
Oh, he will do.
For that.
Well, Pete and I on Fools Around were talking about Sergio Ramos, because apparently he's in charge of the transfers, because he said Mbappe, the Monaco man, he said a player like him is always welcome through the gates at Real Madrid.
Everyone would want him, wouldn't they?
That's just how Madrid and Barcelona do this as well, isn't it? So their more senior players do say things like this to the press about players they want.
He's a very Barcelona-y player, sort of thing.
Yeah, actually, it's the Barcelona DNA thing.
He looked great
the
in purple.
Oh, do you ever know forcing the Barcelona shot on Fabregas?
Exactly. That's it. I guess that's how they get around tapping players up. They get the players to
I remember
it.
Seeing the photos, and it was on Spanish National Duty, and I remember seeing Pepe Reina and thinking, you don't even play for Barcelona. You shouldn't even be involved in this.
He's got no interest. Yeah, but Pepe Reina just loves the bands.
Yeah, he does.
He loves the bands.
I was going to say, going back to the Chelsea game, we're talking about Chelsea perhaps being complacent or whatever, and 12-1 is the price on the Eagles to upset Chelsea at the Bridge. So £10, that would bet 365 will return £130, including stakes.
I think that's worth a flutter.
Yeah, well, an Eagles flutter. The flutter of an Eagles wing.
There you are. Arsenal are at home to Manchester City. There's chat that Wenger... Is he going to announce a decision on whether he's staying or not? What happened there?
I don't know.
The news today from Sky Sports News was Arsene Wenger says he's not making an announcement.
But also that he hadn't made a decision. Yeah.
Can you just pack the airways full of things that aren't happening?
Yeah.
I'm not going to... You know, well, I am going to eat a dinner tonight, yeah, obviously.
You're not going to have two dinners
tonight. Why stop there?
I'm not going for a swim later.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going out on a date with Scott Johansson later. Mm. You know, anything. By that measure, anything can be in the news.
Yeah, to be fair, though, people are expecting an announcement from Wenger.
They might be expecting them. Some quarters might be expecting an announcement from Medium on something. You never know.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm expecting a date with Scarlett Johansson.
What are you in that jacket? You must be out of your fucking mind.
To be honest, it was a swim thing that made me question it.
All right, a love pillow with her face on it. Oh. A Japanese love pillow.
More likely.
Blimey.
Why does he say Japanese love pillow?
I know,
We don't have love pillows.
What are they?
Well, exactly, so why are you laughing then?
That's what I mean,
they're a pillow with like an anime girl on it.
Oh,
and
God.
Geeks...
Easy.
Okay, easy.
Easy.
Geeks cuddle them at night.
Right, you've had your five.
Five love pillows.
The reports were suggesting that Wenger's very likely to stay on. Robert Pires said that Wenger will sign a new contract. I thought, why is Pires spilling the beans on his old
strange
boss?
One as well, isn't it? Maybe that's it again.
I know where Pires is. I think he's a coach at the moment.
Mm.
I think he fancies himself to be...
fast track through,
yeah,
maybe.
Maybe it's
players leaking stuff, so it's easier when the announcement is made. Maybe Wenger's asked him to do it.
House of cards. Patrick Vieira is the one who's been tentatively linked to the job.
Is Henry. I think it's just an easy.
He's been linked for a big job for a long time, though, hasn't he? Mm. And he went to New York, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he's in New York at the moment. Yeah. But Manchester City, they're in better shakes, though, you would say. Pablo Zabaleta has said that Pep Guardiola can sometimes bore players at the training ground when preparing for a match.
I think Guardiola gets a great reputation as being a cool guy and everything. I reckon he's probably the most boring man on the planet.
I reckon he's quite beardy.
Well, what I find interesting about this is Zabaleta's comments, actually, they sounded a bit more like a sort of light-hearted dig at his teammates, because he was saying that, you know, the videos basically only last like 20 minutes and there's not that much, but some players still get bored. It was more like a sort of jovial dig at them. And I wonder, again, if this is an example of the narrative the British press are building around Guardiola, that he's a sort of boring, nerdy weirdo. where the headline from that is Guardiola bores players.
Yeah. You know? I think he is that though.
I was going to say, Jim, you read what Bayern Munich said about him. They said he was quite a strange character. They said he was a wonderful manager. That cannot be denied. Yeah. But very strange, quite introverted, quite difficult to deal with at times.
Can you remember back in the day when foreign managers first started coming to the Premier League?
They came from Japan.
There would always be a talk. Well, not always be talk.
Where the love pillows are.
Occasionally you'd see talk of foreign managers saying, oh yeah, the one thing about working with English players, because of course back then the majority of players were English, so, you know, it's not like in Italy. I mean, you can't really show them videos for like 20 minutes. They don't really like it. Yeah. One of the things, the great euphemistic way one of the managers, I forget who it was, remember saying it, was like, euphemistically said, yeah, you can't overload these players with information. Basically saying they're thick.
Trying to play Michael Owen a video. Is this a film? I don't like these.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Leroy Sané believes that Guardiola has improved him no end. Sané's a lot of love for Guardiola. He seems like a really good chap, Sané, from what we've seen. He's a great player.
Well, he's real asset. Visibly improved during the season.
He has, yeah.
So you can see where he's coming from.
Well, back when these two played earlier in the season, it was all about De Bruyne, wasn't it? Sanchez put Walcott through for a goal, Arsenal opened the scoring, but then in the second half, Man City were very, very good.
And it was 2-1 in the end.
I think this was probably, from what I can remember, probably Ozil's worst performance in an Arsenal shirt for such a big game. He was very, very poor that
day. Well, his contract is being scrutinised as well in the press.
He's out of contract next summer, isn't he?
Well, same as Sanchez, though, which is why the Chelsea link, I think, isn't a ridiculous one. But Arsenal got to be careful, because if Sanchez doesn't, well, in many ways, but if they don't get an extension from Sanchez in the summer, then the following summer he goes for free. Well, and there's a player that you could get probably 40 million or maybe even more.
I think Sanchez saying that he wants to see out his contract is possibly sort of manoeuvring things in that direction. So it's him trying to sort of grease the wheels of getting a move this summer, perhaps, as well. I don't know what will happen with Ozil. Ozil said that, you know, his future is very much tied up with Wenger's, which is an interesting one.
If I can channel
his performance seems to be as well.
Well, yeah, his form has dipped so much.
If I can channel Alex Ferguson, I would be tempted to say that Alexis Sanchez free kick with Chile must be worth a few million on its own.
There we are.
That was an absolute beauty, wasn't it?
It really was. Do you know, if City win this game, it would be the first time they've done a Premier League double over Arsenal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's not only Ozil, apparently Ramsey and Cazorla's are both up next summer as well.
I think there's more chance of those guys staying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, quite. I mean, they're not going to be as sought after.
Yeah. I mean, because Ozil has been a huge miss this season. It must be said. Actually,
he really has. Ozil's agent said recently that the German international is often made a scapegoat for Arsenal. Ozil himself came out and said that people know what I've achieved, that I'm a World Cup winner, played for Real Madrid, set up 20 goals last season. When the team's on a bad run, somebody needs to be singled out. Sadly, most of the time it's me. That's not the right way of going about it, is it, really?
I think there's some truth in it, though. I've read a really interesting...
I think it's probably fair. Because it's just his personality. It's just like his demeanour, isn't it? We talked about it before.
It's more that he's... I mean, the rest of those quotes were saying as well that he's not the sort of player where you get the best use out of him from him sort of tracking back and digging in midfield, because his qualities are more offensive and of better use further up the pitch. Remember, Thierry Henry used to sort of like... He would just sort of stroll about at times to conserve energy and then use those quick bursts of pace. And I read a really interesting thing on Arseblog today, which was that generally Ozil runs further than Sanchez in games. Right. Which the stats bear out, but Sanchez obviously is a very sort of busy player, and he runs in sort of quick bursts, so you don't notice the work that Ozil puts in.
Another
a
one,
lot. And you know, we hear this all the time, don't we? This criticism of him.
There's something in that, because the other two players who I read very recently who cover a lot more ground, you'd think, are Christian Eriksen and Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Okay,
and you wouldn't think of,
I'd see Sigurdsson. No,
really? Okay, maybe it didn't surprise you, but it surprised
but
me
he
to did, hear that.
He changed, because I think he was played out wide for a little bit to cover defensively, because recently Paul Clement has said, go and attack, have a bit more freedom.
I think if they go down, he'll get a big move. I think he will. He's still young enough for a decent move, actually.
True, but he went to Spurs and it didn't quite work.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it can't work again. Yeah,
do you think it's because we sort of equate work rate with pace?
Probably, yeah.
I think most
of us aren't really sports scientists.
Yeah. But when Ozil joined Arsenal, I mean, my memory of him for different clubs was just making space for other players, pulling the player about,
playing really key passes.
Is that in the Premier League? Is that as useful? Is it too quick? Is there too little space? Are our defenders not even bothering to track him?
The thing on that is they do say there's a lot of space in Premier League games anyway,
right,
because of the way it's played. So it's maybe not as effective as it would be where it can be a bit tighter, like somewhere like Spain, perhaps. But I wonder, going back to this game, I wonder if that break has might have done Arsenal some good, actually.
Absolutely. Everyone sort of resets, you know. You get another go at your form, don't you? Mm. It's a strange one.
Sanchez looked like he was having a lovely time over in Chile. Mm. He did, didn't he?
He missed a penalty. He would have been their record goal scorer.
He looked very nervous taking that as well. I wonder if he had
because he was going for the tally. He was going for the record, wasn't he?
Arsenal are now 3-1 to make the top four this year with Bet365. So £10 on that will return a £40. Sorry, we'll return £40 including stake if they make it into the Champions League spots.
There we are. It's time for our bet of the week, though, Luke.
Yeah, let's move on to our bet of the week with Bet365. Joel Gleischer is sadly out of the hot seat.
He's gone.
He's one of the many, many listeners who've managed to get one bet of the week.
He reached for the stars.
He did.
He didn't get them, but
he fell flat on his face.
He's in the gutter looking at him.
As do most of us at some point in our lives. So step up into the hot seat, Jack Kay. That's K-A-Y. He says, morning Ramblers. Following on from Joel's failed attempts to manage to retain his place on the Football Ramblers Bet of the Week hot seat, I've decided it's time to throw my cheeks into the mix.
Nah, I'm right.
After hours of research, algorithms and review, I've worked out that I have too much free time during work hours. So with that in my my Bet of the Week is Liverpool to win the Merseyside Derby and both teams to score. So that is currently 12-5 with Bet365. So £50 return, £170 including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and for more information, go to begambleaware.org. So Liverpool to win the Merseyside Derby with both teams to score, 12-5. Look out for that. Jack Kay, you're in the hot seat. I hope you're big enough to handle it. I hope your shoulders are broad enough to carry the Ramble listenership on them.
Big Jack Kay. JK.
JK.
Like
JK.
It. Like that very much so. Should we look ahead to the weekend then?
Let's look ahead to the weekend.
Let's do that.
I've got something for you before we go into what the listeners think. Big Steve Evans, remember him?
Of course I do.
So for those who don't remember, Big Steve Evans
Harry
used to be...
Seacombe lookalike.
Yeah, it looks a bit like Harry Seacombe. That won't mean anything to anyone.
I it looks like my granddad. Brilliant.
He jumped into the Rambles consciousness, little trip down memory lane, I'll keep it brief, because he was manager of Boston and he got involved in all sorts of different bits and pieces there which weren't particularly savoury. I won't go into that for legal reasons. He was then Crawley Town manager and he said when they drew Man United in the Cup, I'm just looking forward to a glass of wine with Sir Alex. Mm. Right? And we were like, get over yourself, pal. Anyway, he's manager of Mansfield Town now. And
In between, he was Leeds manager.
That's right.
Not that long ago.
And I think he did Rotherham. I'm trying to paraphrase. He's got to the point now where he's doing quite well at Mansfield Town. He's doing okay. Mm. But he loves a media story about himself. He can't resist it. He's like Pardew, but...
He's a journalist, but dream at level.
In a press conference this week, he said to everyone, as far as I can make out, like apropos of nothing, said, I've been offered a job in Qatar, but don't worry, everyone, I'm staying where I am.
Is it a desk job?
That's what he said. He's loving it. And let's go back to Kenny Munro, Pete.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
For those who don't remember as well, Kenny Munro is the man who told me that Solange had married Tim Howard. I'm not a man who's up on his celebrity gossip. I'm the first to admit that. Clearly, that's not the case. That's not happened. Mm-hmm. But a man who looks very much like Tim Howard has married Solange a while back, I think. Mm. So apologies to everyone for that.
Are they both living in the Ecuadorian embassy?
Yes, possible. That's not related. Not related.
Oh, okay.
But one thing I would say is, I mean, if you do want to blame me for something, blame me for trusting the listeners.
Yeah.
Treating them as equals. Because if that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Well, have you got a message from Kenny? Because I've got one.
I just wanted to have a pop at him.
Well, there's your riposte. Apologies, gentlemen. Tim Howard didn't marry Solange Knowles. I just saw that picture and thought, bloke looks like Tim Howard. Ramble lads are like that. Yeah. Little did I know that you'd not bothered to check something that would surely have come up before now.
It's all fair.
I'm sure it left many listeners slightly more perplexed than usual.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge... I mean, listen, it's not even in the top 50 errors we've made.
I was going to say, I made an error as well, because you said Azamir Begovic. For some reason, when you were doing the autocorrect names, I obviously had my eye on the next link, how that's going to work.
Moved to Qatar.
For some reason, with Steve Evans, assistant. Yeah. Big man, little man. I thought you said Isle Berkovic for some reason. Yeah. And that's what I said.
It's just nice to have a mention of both players, to be fair.
In the top 50.
No.
So Kenny Munro should be ashamed of himself. To me, you should say like, oh yeah, that's fair enough. No, he should take responsibility for his actions. Right, let's go to what the listeners actually looking forward to this weekend. I'm looking forward to my 4-year-old little boy rejecting football and instead yet again insisting he wants a sand pit instead of a goal in the back garden. Oh. All the while refusing to wear anything other than a Nottingham Forest top he was bought. I'm a Notts County fan. It's like at 4 years old, he's goading me. Hashtag fouled as a fire. That's from Mark Lonsdale.
I like that.
Chris Williams says, I'm looking forward to seeing a plane pull a banner confirming Arsene Wenger's contract extension, flying over the Emirates on Sunday as Man City rack up a cricket score. Mm. Could happen. And I'll finish with this one from Andrew Littlewood, who says, I'm a Sunderland fan and I'm looking forward to another David Moyes positivity.
I've got one final little message, yes, which is tickling me a little bit. Do you remember that Mohamed Anas story with his wife and girlfriend mixed up thing?
Yes.
Yeah. So he basically said, I'd like to thank my wife and my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ghana?
Yeah, I think it's Ghana. He has since come out and defended this by saying he meant his daughter, whom he calls his girlfriend. He's not making it any easier on himself, is he? That's Kieran Grace.
That's legitimately made it over 100 times worse.
Hasn't it? I tried to defend him. I'm not defending that.
Yeah. Well, I defended him sort of saying he probably meant, like, she was my girlfriend, now she's my wife. But,
No.
If he's going to go for that tack, fair dues.
Yeah.
Doubling down doesn't work.
It's almost like the chucking the cat on the table thing that I was talking about the other week. Yeah. Blinded with mad stuff.
Yeah. There we are. We've come to the end of the show, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We will be back, of course, at the start of next week. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye,
Say
Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later.
Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.